Hello, and thank you again for joining the Three Questions podcast. This is Paul Saunders with the Center for the National Interest. I'm very pleased today to have with me my colleague, Jacob Heilbrun, who I'm sure many know is the editor of our online magazine, The National Interest. And Jacob and I thought we would do kind of a U.S. politics update today, because there's really a lot going on in the United States, and it's been a very active and dynamic period in our political life over the last couple of weeks. So, Jacob, thank you very much for joining.
Thank you, Paul.
To start here, question number one, maybe you could talk a little bit about the elections that we had about a week and a half ago now. I think we have enough time that's elapsed that we can sort of reflect on that and draw some lessons. There were obviously gubernatorial elections in Virginia and New Jersey. There were a variety of other important elections, you know, state, local, around the country. I think in Pennsylvania, there was an important vote. How do you think that turned out for the president, for Republicans, for Democrats?
Turned out well for the Democrats, very poorly for the Republicans. I would liken it to the U.S. military's early warning system in Alaska, which is that the GOP has gotten a early warning that its fortunes in the midterms look increasingly precarious for two reasons. One is that Donald Trump was not on the ballot officially in these elections in New Jersey and in Virginia, where the Democrats won both governorships very convincingly. So the MAGA movement does not appear to have political legs without Trump on the ticket. At the same time, if Trump wasn't on the ticket, he was unofficially voted upon because his policies, if the polls are anything to go by, are increasingly unpopular, whether it's the tariffs or his draconian anti-immigration measures. So the Democrats won pretty much everything, including in Georgia, where they won these utility commissioner posts. So the Trump brand seems to be becoming increasingly toxic for the GOP. The question will be in the midterms, how do Republicans address this? Will they begin to break with Trump and turn him into a lame duck? Or will they remain reflexively loyal to Trump in the hopes that enough of his followers will come out to avoid a Republican disaster?
So we had that. Then, you know, after this kind of victory, as you see it, for the Democrats within about a little bit more than a week of that kind of caved in the Senate, in essence, on this question of the government shutdown, right? Why do you think that occurred? How do you view the resolution of the shutdown so far? Who won that one?
I think it was sort of a mixed bag. I think Trump got to claim victory, but it proved to be a short one. The eight Democrats in the Senate who voted to end the shutdown took a bullet for the Democrats. I think had the shutdown continued, the public might have started to blame the Democrats for it. And as it stands, the majority seems to have blamed Trump for it. I don't think the shutdown will prove long-lasting. What the end of the shutdown has done is refocus people's attention on soaring healthcare premiums and the Epstein files, which have returned to the front pages.
That's kind of the last one that I want to ask you about. And that's obviously been kind of an ongoing thread in our politics, really, for, frankly, some years now. Initially with, you know, Republicans pressing the Biden administration on that. Now with Democrats pressing the Trump administration on it, we're seeing dribbling out these different email exchanges among various people, some of which are referring to the president. What do you think we're going to see there, and what impact do you think that might have looking ahead?
I'm a little perplexed by why exactly Donald Trump is so concerned about the Epstein files. So far, there's been no smoking gun. As Trump's defenders have pointed out, there's nothing in there that seriously damages him. I mean, do you want your president to have been hanging out with a guy who's running a pedophile ring? Well, no, but we kind of already knew that. I'm groping to see why Trump is almost single-handedly making the Epstein files important by trying to suppress their release after Republicans campaigned for it. Now, people like Tom Massey are being principled and sticking to their guns. Whether it's a Democratic or Republican president, they're insisting on the release of these files. What is in these files? I don't know. Is it more than embarrassing for Trump? I'm a little skeptical, honestly, because there have been so many scandals that were supposed to bring down Trump and never have. Let's think about the Russia scandal, which, you know, in the end, really didn't go very far. The only thing that makes you wonder about this is the vehemence with which Trump is opposed to any focus on the Epstein files. Now, some people say that it's because he doesn't like the distraction from his policies and so forth. And Susan Glasser has an interesting piece in the New Yorker today saying that this could become like the whitewater of the Trump administration, which is that, you know, there really wasn't much to whitewater, but it metastasized and the probes kept continuing and it kind of plagues your administration. I don't know if that's what Trump is worried about or if he thinks there is some bombshell in those files that we just don't know about.
Thank you very much, Jacob. I think we've sort of exhausted our three questions there. My recollection of whitewater, which is a little sketchy, three decades later, kind of suggests to me that also evolved into the impeachment effort against Bill Clinton. Although I might be wrong, but I sort of thought all those things were sort of all connected. So if anyone listening remembers differently, please correct me on that. But Jacob, anyhow, thank you so much for joining again and for sharing your perspective on this sort of big 2 weeks in American politics.
Thank you, Paul.